In Christ alone, the solid rock I stand.
Welcome to In Christ Alone radio program, a program presented by Pastor Conrad Mbewe and produced by Radio Christian Voice. Be built by the Word of God on Christ alone.
My name is Conrad Mbewe, pastor for Kawata Baptist Church, coming to you with this program, In Christ Alone. We have been, for a number of months now, studying assurance of salvation from 1 John. We saw it from 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and finally we ended with chapter 5 last week. What a glorious journey it has been, learning together from that great epistle of John to not just the Christians in his own day, but to all of us in the 21st century, that we might know if we are truly Christian, if we are truly saved from sin, if our destination has changed from hell to heaven. God is good. He is a savior. He wants to save you. He wants to save me. I hope you enjoyed that segment as we were studying together. Now, today we are beginning a brand new series of teachings. And this time we are moving from the New Testament. We are going to the Old Testament. And the book that I want us to begin considering together is the book of Ecclesiastes. And the question that I have in our little quiz today is simply, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Before we go into it, let's quickly look at our quiz. I have good news for you. A little bit of good news. I've been informed that we have one person who has won this week's quiz. One person. And that individual is Stephen Sikazwe from Lusaka. Well done, Stephen. You have given us four correct answers thus far, and you are now entitled to my book, Foundations for the Flock. Foundations for the Flock will be on its way to you. Be patient. Someone will be in touch with you to let you know where you are so that they can bring the book over to you. We still have a few individuals who are on three correct answers, and I want to encourage you. In fact, Stephen himself was on three last week, and he managed to scoop the fourth one. The ones that have three correct answers, let me quickly give you your names. There are six of you. There is Harrison Sichila, Lloyd Chishala, Howard Mumbi, Chileshe Weston, Alan Siame, and Bridget Chiyokoma. Bridget Chiyokoma is the latest one. And so, Bridget, well done. You have joined those with three correct answers. If you get the correct answer for this week, you will bypass all these other five and you will have the book on its way to you. Those of you listening in, remember the question this time is, who wrote the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes? And I will tell you where to send your answer at the end of this program. Let's read the first two verses of Ecclesiastes and chapter 1. The first two verses. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Well, that's the primary message that we have in this book. And so I am entitling my message today as Everything is Meaningless. Everything is meaningless. This is quite an important book. Every young person, in fact, even old person, need to spend some time reading it and learning from it. Why do I say so? It is because we are living in an age in which fools speak the loudest And often they are the ones who are in control of the media. And then the wise are often silent. You hardly ever get to hear their voice because they do not have access to platforms such as this. The media is full of pictures and clips of laughing young men and women who seem to be the epitome of success. But what they never do is to show us the end result of such lives. In other words, before these young people who are laughing and showing themselves to be the ones that have achieved success and so on, before them, there were others who were also doing exactly the same thing. Let's trace them. Let's try and find them. Where are they? What has been the end product of that wildlife that they were showing off on television and so forth, on the covers of glossy magazines? Where are they now? The result of such an investigation might give us a few surprises. But you see, because we do not follow up that reality, we have ended up with false role models in life. And the result has been the ruining of many young lives. You see, the book of Ecclesiastes was written by arguably the wisest man that ever lived, that is King Solomon. He's introduced in that way, isn't it? The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. We know that there was only one son of David who became king in Jerusalem, who was extremely wise, and that is King Solomon. God gave him a level of wisdom that made him stand head and shoulders above everyone else. And if you've ever read the story of Solomon, you will agree with me that indeed he was wise. In fact, I remember when I was still in Sunday school, being completely mesmerized by the story of two women that were fighting over one baby. And then they were brought before King Solomon so that he could determine who among those two was the real baby. Both of them were claiming that the dead baby belonged to the other and that the baby that was alive was their own. Now remember, it was days long before DNA testing ever came into existence. And what we are told is that King Solomon commanded his assistants to just bring a sword or a knife and cut this baby into half that each mother could go with half a piece. One woman immediately said, yeah, I suppose that's very fair, so that we stop all this quarreling that is taking place between the two of us. And immediately Solomon said, take the baby and give it to the other woman. The woman was saying, no, please don't harm the baby. In that case, this other woman might as well take the baby. And that, King Solomon knew that's really the real mother, and consequently said, give the baby, the live baby, to this woman. And the one who wanted the baby cut, well, you better pass on the dead one to her. I've never forgotten thinking, wow, this man was really wise. How did he figure it out? Well, thankfully, he has preserved for us his knowledge. It is in the book of Proverbs. It is in the book of Songs of Solomon. It is also in the book of Ecclesiastes. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. And what does it tell us in this book? He tells us some of his own struggles to find life's meaning. And finally, he shares with us his own conclusion. And you know, we do well to listen to him as he tells the message that life without God is meaningless. Let me say that again, because that's the theme of this entire book, that life without God is meaningless. Now, how does he do that? Well, first of all, what King Solomon does is to acknowledge a basic fact of life. And the basic fact of life is this, that life is essentially a pursuit after happiness. That's what life is. It's a pursuit after happiness. I want to assure you that I may not know you personally, whoever you are listening into this program, but there's one thing I know about you that you cannot deny. And it is this, that you want to be happy. Tell me if I'm wrong. You want to be happy. In fact, even a person who commits suicide, we might be thinking, wow, this person hates himself. No. The reason why that person has committed suicide is because the present experience he has in this world is painful. It's too painful to bear. And consequently, he thinks he will be happier on the other side of the grave. And consequently, he takes his own life. We all want to be happy. And because of that, therefore, we can identify with Solomon as he searches for happiness throughout this book. All you need to do is to read it. In fact, when I became a Christian in March 1979, which is a little bit over 40 years ago, I've never forgotten. The very first book I read was the book of Ecclesiastes, straight from being born again, straight from repenting of my sins and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first book, when I opened the Bible after that, my eyes fell on Ecclesiastes and I read it from beginning to end. And wow, what an eye-opener it was. And one thing I noticed in the book, which I can repeat even here, is the fact that Solomon was pursuing happiness. That's what he was doing, pursuing happiness. And how did he do it? Well, in chapter one, he was pursuing happiness through wanting more and more knowledge. In chapter two of this book, he was doing it by seeking pleasure in work, seeking pleasure in work. And then in chapter four, he is seeking happiness in community and friendship. In other words, with other people around him. And then in chapter 5, he is seeking happiness in wealth. In wealth. Now let's face it, that's what a lot of people are continuing to seek happiness in and unfortunately failing to find it. In education and career, in pleasure and sport and music and sex, among friends, laughing away with people that you think love you, and consequently, you are always in their company, and then looking for happiness in wealth, in money, in more and more property, in fast cars, and so on. That's today's story. People are always looking for happiness in these areas. In fact, the very first psalm in the Bible and the very first recorded sermon by our Lord Jesus Christ all speak about happiness. That's what they do. They speak about happiness. So if you go to Psalm 1, this is what it says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Notice, blessed is the man. In other words, happy is the man. The very first psalm is about our pursuit of happiness. And then, as I said, you go to the New Testament, and you go to the very first sermon of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what he said. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed, blessed, blessed. In other words, happy, happy, happy. So we make a grave mistake if we think that happiness is an optional extra to life, either in God or in ourselves. God never made us to be that way. He never did. And that is the reason why the picture of heaven is always a picture of happiness. It always is. because God knows that we long to be happy. And consequently, he gives us a picture of the most blessed form of existence. And it is all there for us in heaven. So let me ask you a question. Do you want to be happy? I know you do. In fact, God knows that you do. But you see, according to the wise man, King Solomon here, what he tells us is that the reality of death often brings soberness and balances this human pursuit of pleasure. The reality of death. So, for instance, if you look at Ecclesiastes and chapter 7, just the first six verses, listen to this. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, the first six verses. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth. You say, oh, how come? Listen to this. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of face, the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. In other words, partying. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fools. This also is vanity. The point he's making there is that you will often find people, especially when they're drunk, they are just laughing all the time. But when you really come to think about it, you know, what is all that? Tomorrow morning they wake up, they've got headaches, their problems haven't gone away, they are suffering from a hangover, maybe they've even been fired because of all kinds of failures on their part, or some of them are now in hospital because from the drinking they were involved in an accident and now there they are with doctors and nurses all around them. What has their laughter produced? Nothing. It is by the crackling of thorns, as the wise man puts it. Okay, so there are certain realities of life that cause us to be sober. Here's another one. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and again, the first six verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the first six verses. But all this I laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know. Both are before him. It is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner. And he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also, the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. There it is, death has a sobering effect. But he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. And they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. Isn't this sobering? To realize that death is going to come. It's going to come. Now you try this. Go among people who are making merry, who are busy drinking away, And then you say to them, guys, I've got good news for you. And they turn around and say, what is it? And then you say, we are all going to die. You see what they'll do to you. They'll quickly say, hey, come on, get away from here. Get away from here. We don't want to listen to you. But guys, you don't want to listen to what is going to come to you. I mean, all of us will die. So they will call you a killjoy. They will dismiss you from their presence and so on. Really, the bottom line is they are running away from reality. They're running away from reality. People just don't want to face this. Yet, I want to say to you, it is not true joy if you have to hide in a fool's paradise in order to be joyful. It's not true joy. True joy must be one that can look death in the face and still be joyful. I want to ask, is that your joy? Is that your joy? Well, let's hurry on, because there's a third aspect that we find in this book. And it is this, that you can only enjoy life despite the reality of death if you've been living your life with the centrality of God before you. In fact, that's the way this writer, Solomon, ends the book of Ecclesiastes. He ends with these words, remember your creator in the days of your youth. That's Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. This was the conclusion of the pursuit that he was in through these 12 chapters of this book. It was when he realized that ultimately true joy is only found when you have found a healthy relationship with God. During the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century, our spiritual fathers came up with a catechism for the purpose of instructing the young in life. The first and second questions make the point that true joy is only found in reckoning with the centrality of God. Let me read that to you. Here was the first question. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And here's the answer that children were meant to memorize. That I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and redeemed me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, that all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. And then the second question, how many things are necessary for you to know that in this comfort you may live and die happily? I want you to notice the happily there. That in this life you may live and die happily. What things do you need to know? And here is the answer that children are expected to repeat or to memorize. Three things. First, the greatness of my sin and misery. Second, how I am redeemed from all my sins and misery. And then third, how I am to be thankful to God for such a redemption. That's how I can live and die happily when I know these things. The greatness of my sin and misery, how I'm redeemed from my sin and misery, and then being thankful to God for this redemption. Well, that's really what the wise man Solomon deals with in this book. It is the journey that he went through in order to finally find this. Are you ready to join me in this journey so that together we might find true happiness? Are you ready? Well, then join me every week at this same time so that together we might find true happiness in Jesus Christ. Remember what he himself said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, let's wrap up. We have said that the question for this week is, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? If you have the answer, please write to my email address, Conrad Mbewe, conradmbewe@gmail.com, or send a text or WhatsApp message to 0967-460-393. I'll read that again, 0967-460-393. Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? If you have the answer, then send it over to this number or the email address I gave, and somebody will collect the answers. If you have reached the fourth correct answer, you will also get my book on its way to you. We have 77 copies remaining. 23 have already been won. Well, when you send your answer, don't forget to state four things. First of all, the name of the program. It is In Christ Alone. And then include your name, your city, and your phone number. Your name, your city, and your phone number. From me, Conrad Mbewe, until next time, when we begin the journey in the book of Ecclesiastes, it is bye for now.
You've been listening to In Christ Alone on Radio Christian Voice. If you have been blessed with this message, get in touch with us. Write to us, Radio Christian Voice, Private Bag, E606, Lusaka, Zambia. Or find us on Facebook, Radio Christian Voice, Zambia. Join us next week at the same time.